This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are Bob Lohfeld of Lohfeld Consulting and Larry Allen of Allen Federal. General, welcome back to that. Excuse me, gentlemen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Mark, good to be here.
And it's good to have you. We're going to be discussing top issues from 2014, top issues going into 2015, and the recent OFPP memo from the new administrator. So lots of things to discuss. Let's briefly, if anybody out there doesn't know these guys, shame on you, but we'll do a brief intro anyway. Bob?
Bob Lohfeld, Lohfeld Consulting Group. We're a company of about 140 people, and we help government contractors do capture and proposal work. And
win business.
Win business is the name of the game.
That's right. Allen Federal has been around now for 4 years, and we work with companies to sell to the feds. We're professional problem solvers, Mark.
Indeed you are. And prior to that, Larry had 19 years as president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, the GSA Education and Lobbying Group. All right. So big issues. 2014. Obviously, the elephant in the room, no political pun intended, has been the budget slide. So, Bob, start, please.
Yeah, actually, when we look at the slide in the budget, it's been going on for a while now. Maybe back 4 years ago, we started seeing a drawdown on government spending. It has steadily declined. And now when you look at the federal budget, the portion that's spent, it is down by about 10%. So $50 billion disappeared off the banquet table and that has affected companies in a very significant way. So if there's any good news in it, the good news is we can see the bottom coming, and maybe by 2016 we'll be back into at least some modest growth in the federal budget.
When you say the bottom coming, do you see the chalk outline there or what?
Well, we see the civil market bottoming out now, and its budget is starting to go up next year. Defense budget has another year to go to find its bottom, and we think 2016 it will turn. So the two major portions of the federal budget will be on the upswing.
Well, Bob's absolutely right in terms of the macro numbers, Mark. The amount of procurement dollars that have been spent, particularly on non-defense items, has declined significantly. We've also seen a number of companies get out of the federal market. We've had a net migration outwards for the past 2 years at least. So what you're seeing is companies that are staying in this market are the ones that are exceptionally dedicated to it, have figured out how to run the traps through the bid and proposal process, most likely using a firm like Bob's. And the ones who understand that, as Bob said, we're going to be turning the corner in a couple of years, and if they can hang on till then they can see their businesses, at least in terms of federal business, turn around. Not to say, however, that there still haven't been some specific opportunities. While total overall spending is down, we do see agencies that have priorities, and we can talk a little bit more about those. So there are specific things that will bring companies business, but it requires focus and knowing where those priorities are.
Okay. So how do you determine that companies are vacating the premises here? I've never been able to put my finger on that.
Well, here I'm relying on numbers from Deltek, which has shown a net number of companies leaving the federal market. That's based on their analysis, at least partially, federal procurement data center. data that shows companies that previously had recorded federal sales for a period of at least 12 months had recorded none.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some companies that, you know, some of them may just not have been successful, but others, I think, definitely have refocused themselves. And when we look at that, it's not just the budget, although that's a driver for many of the companies. It's the fact that we have a lot of new rules now that have come back into the government acquisition marketplace that require specialized knowledge and also serve as tripwires for well-intentioned companies that are more focused on selling than on compliance. And they look at the relative dearth of federal opportunities and then see the risk that's increased and make a business decision to either leave or move to the sidelines.
Okay. Interesting. The next point here, Bob, you pointed out that there's been a tremendous downsizing in the in-house BD and capture.
Yeah, we'd like to caption this year as the year of the layoff. And what we saw across the market is companies trying to cut their way to profitability. And they would eliminate resources within the company that weren't direct charge. So the first ones impacted were business development. And it continued on across the whole business acquisition domain within companies. So capture managers found themselves relieved of an assignment, and in some cases, proposal managers. So all of that non-billable labor within companies got reduced. And then the management ranks got whacked as well. If intermediate-level managers weren't customer-facing, they became expendable in companies, and they went out the door by the hundreds. All in all, companies managing their indirect costs to preserve profitability while suffering on the sales side of it.
Yeah, I've seen a few companies that cut very top layers of BD and capture business management too. So, curious, Larry, any thoughts on that? Do you see anything similar? I mean, for both you guys, this is not bad news because they have to get advice and direction somewhere.
Right. Well, I've seen some of the same things that Bob just commented on. This also continues a trend, Mark, that we've seen in companies over the last couple of years as the budgets have gone down. Some companies tried to get out ahead of the curve, particularly in FY13, anticipating sequestration and slow start to the FY14 year. So what happened during the rest of FY14 kind of continued that trend. And it's one degree, it's understandable. On the other hand, you have to be very careful that you're not cutting off your nose to spite your face, because if you are diminishing your ability to attract business, then you're diminishing your ability to actually perform on that business.
Yeah.
We'd say you can cut your way to profitability, but you can't cut your way to sales growth. And yet, either you employ those resources within your company or you hire them externally. And for us, being a provider of that expertise, it's been an uptick in our business for sure.
Well, if you're listening carefully out there, if you cut your marketing staff, give me a shout. or if you don't want to cut your marketing staff, just make sure they're doing better. Mm-hmm. Give me a shout. One of the issues, Bob, you also brought up is kind of a recurrent issue. And when I came into the market in the early mid-80s, everybody would go to training classes on the FAR and various procurement classes. And, you know, when I sat in Lynn Bateman's sessions, it was usually 60 to 70% feds and about 30% industry, but everybody went. That's gone away, but now once again, there's lots of chatter about improving the overall procurement system, and we'll get into this a little later. Training the procurement staff. How much of it is just more smoke and mirrors?
Well, let me comment first about the training aspect. You're spot on about. Earlier in our careers, there was a lot of training and people embraced it. And now with this theme of cost reduction, training is one of those things you can always kick down the road. So we look out across corporations and we see a dearth of employees trying hard but not particularly well trained in the disciplines in which they're employed. So if I were running one of those businesses, one of my first investments would be to double down in the training areas. Well-trained, smart people will play a much better game than those that don't.
Absolutely dead on, and we've discussed this on your show before, Mark, and that is that contractors today can no longer assume that the contracting officers in government they're working with understand what the rules and regulations are. They haven't had the training, even though they may have the grade. They may not. They certainly don't have the time in grade that their predecessors did who came before them. So as the contractor, you really have to be the one who's better educated on the acquisition rules and the how-tos of government buying so that you can show your customer and their contracting officer a way forward. So if you're in the contracting corps, the better educated contractor is you're going to be your best, your customer's best friend.
Yeah, exactly. So
there's been lots of chatter about procurement improvement, procurement reform, and I had the privilege of chairing the Procurement Improvement Committee for the Association of Proposal Management Professionals. And the first thing we recognized as a group was that the FAR was pretty good. The rules are well defined. They're thoughtful. And they provide the latitude that the government procurement executives need to conduct efficient, effective procurements. The gap we saw was in following the rules and interpreting the rules.
Hold that thought. We're going to pick that up after the break. My guests today are Bob Lohfeld of Lohfeld Consulting Group and Larry Allen of Allen Federal. I'm Mark Amtower, and you're listening to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests are Bob Lohfeld and Larry Allen. Bob, pick it up where you left off, please.
And we were talking about procurement improvement and the adequacy of the FAR. What we realized at Association of Proposal Management Professionals was that the FAR is largely a very acceptable document for us. The problem has been execution within the rules of the FAR. And that some government contracting officers perhaps lack the training or lack the experience to understand what those rules allow them to do and what rules advise them not to do certain things. Hence, the Mythbusters memos have come along to help clarify it, and Ann Rung's recent message about improving procurement. It's not about reforming it. It's about continual improvement.
Okay. Yeah, but, you know, It begs the question, is there going to be a FAR for dummies soon?
Well, yeah, we kind of did see a tech FAR that came out this year, Mark, that was supposed to be guidance specifically on IT procurements. When people ask me what I thought of the tech FAR, I'm like, well, it's fine to put everything in one place. But what I'm really interested in is a services FAR, because the government's a net buyer of services, and our FAR is written mostly for product acquisitions. I think Bob's absolutely right, however, in saying that the FAR does provide flexibility. The issue today is that a lot of contracting officers either don't understand that flexibility or they are reluctant to use that flexibility, and there's a tendency to read more into the rules than there might actually be there, so that what you end up with is a very, very risk-averse acquisition situation. So where the rules actually provide you latitude. Mm-hmm. So it's more the attitude maybe than what the rules themselves say.
I really love the idea of a tech FAR. As the FAR itself covers all procurements.
Yeah.
And to distill it down to talk about just procurements of technical products, technical services, is a great idea. When I read the tech FAR, I was disappointed in its narrowness, because it's focused really on agile software development, and it ignores the rest of the technology procurements that go on within the FAR. So I love the title, but wish the content had been written more broadly.
So it's a little on the fad side, not necessarily on the trend side, and it's not deep.
I think somebody stole a really great name for an offering here. I just wish it had been broader when they wrote out the the rest of it.
Well, maybe it's time for FAR wars and not FAR for dummies. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen in 2015, 2016. Bob, you mentioned that the budgets were bottoming out for the civilian side, and maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel on the DOD side.
We think so. Of course, you can't predict world political events from day to day, but we talk a lot about a new normal in the market, the new normal being a smaller market, a more tightly competed market. And I think that will be the sense that we have going forward. While we complain a lot about the $50 billion that's gone, it still leaves $500 billion on the table. So you ought to be able to find a way of making a living within that budget space. So going forward, what we tell companies is the proposals that they wrote 4 years ago or 5 years ago when things were going really well in the market are no longer sufficiently competitive for today's market. What worked for them a few years ago won't work anymore. They have to raise their level of competitiveness in this marketplace.
Well, that's right. And we've talked about that a little bit before here as well in terms of LPTA, which has become a large issue in the contractor core. Most recently, we saw DOD appoint the head of Air Force contracting to an examination of LPTA. That, I think, Mark, is intended to get at to whether or not the complaints from industry are merely anecdotal or are they trendworthy. And if they're trendworthy, does that suggest that LPTA as a contract method is overused? I think the answer to that is probably yes. You know, anytime you see a fad, whether it's LPTA or reverse auctions or cost-plus contracting that tends to be overly adopted as the herd runs in that one direction. Moving forward for 2015, I think that we're going to continue, as Bob said, to see some tightness in the market, but we are going to have some opportunities in IT. For example, we're going to see some HHS opportunities around health IT. We're also going to see continued high interest and countercyclical to some degree in terms of cyber solutions. On the policy side, I hesitate to talk about it, but it may be important in 2015. There's a strong belief that we're going to end up with some sort of acquisition reform for the Department of Defense outside of weapons systems. So if that's true, there have been countless proposals put up to both the House and Senate Armed Services Committees. Those committee staffs have also collected their own ideas. So I'm optimistic in terms of seeing something that will begin to hack away at some of the regulatory undergrowth that has proliferated over the last 10 years.
Okay. Robert?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the idea of procurement reform and think it may be better cast as procurement improvement. And every time we have the reformists come in, there's lots of commotion and not much progress. So incremental improvement is a savvy way to address it. Well, it's a journey.
Yeah, incremental improvement would possibly include radical things like training procurement people.
A grand idea, indeed. Yeah. A grand idea.
So, and, you know, again, I hate to keep going back to yesteryear, but I gotta. You know, when I started in the government market, OPM mandated that everybody in every job in the government, regardless of the job, get a minimum of 1 week of actual training, CEU-type training, every year on whatever their discipline was. And that included maintenance people. So, you know.
We start a lot of our engagements with clients talking about how the government evaluates proposals. It's in FAR 15, and it's only four sentences long. And yet none of them have ever read it. And if they really understood that, it changes their whole thinking about proposals. So we begin with, you know, 15 minutes of this is what you need to know. And the 15 usually goes into 2 hours of discussion.
Lots of questions.
Lots of questions. Lots of misunderstandings. Yeah. Lots of urban legends out there that just aren't real.
Maybe we should write this FAR for dummies.
Well, thus the need for more Mythbusters, and thus the need for better education.
Well, yeah, I don't want to go into the Mythbusters thing because I did not think that many of them were valid myths. but that's just me. You know, maybe missed the people that wrote them. One more thing, all of this stuff points radically to me that the losers on this side are probably going to be the smaller businesses, especially those trying to come in, possibly those with legitimate technologies, legitimate services, legitimate offerings. Steve Koprinz pointed out in his book that there are more regulations regarding small business than there are for any other segment of the contracting community. So your thoughts on that, please.
Well, I think, Mark, you're absolutely right. Despite the lip service that people in government agencies play to doing business with small firms, if you just go back and listen to the trends the three of us have been talking about today, you've already been able to rough out a picture that shows that doing business in the market today requires specialization. It requires specialized knowledge. We haven't even begun to touch on the fact that it requires specialized compliance systems, all of which are very expensive for small businesses to maintain. When you put on top of that things like strategic sourcing, when you look at some of the things coming out of the Air Force in terms of cutting the IT cost curve, all of those are legitimate on their surface management decisions in terms of the government better analyzing its spend and getting more from each contractor. But what it really speaks to is less opportunity, I think, for smaller firms and more of an edge for companies that have invested the time and money into understanding how this marketplace really ticks.
Yeah, it's a complex issue for sure. I'm a great fan of small business. There's some tremendously capable firms out there in the market. What troubles me is the emphasis on awarding procurements to socioeconomic groups within the small business community and the fervor in which that is undertaken. I think it has shown a tendency to create firms without the fabric of technical superiority, without the sustaining power that they need. They grow like a flare and then reach a point where they're no longer eligible for these subsidy programs, and they fall just as fast as they rose.
Well, part of the issue there is you have procurement people who are using one set-aside company for this type of business, and they call them and say, by the way, do you do this other stuff, which has nothing to do with the service they're currently offering? And the implied answer has to be, of course we can. And you get off the phone, you go, how the heck do I do this? So all of a sudden, an information assurance company is now a staffing firm.
Yeah.
And it happens.
A similar, yes. similar problem is that the company gets very proficient at winning business in a socioeconomic category, and one day they wake up and they're no longer eligible to participate, and the whole market that they've created is left behind. They cannot succeed themselves. All their work remains in the socioeconomic program of which they have just proudly graduated from, and their business declines just precipitously.
Well, I've also seen hub zones created in areas that would not be considered economically deprived.
Mm-hmm.
Including segments of northern Virginia horse country.
So I think longer term, it's more of an issue. Is this really a good strategy? Are we building strong, competent companies? And for sure we are, but maybe we could do better.
Well, I think Bob's right. It also has a tendency to create companies simply because the perception is that there are pots of money available in these specific areas. And that may be an unintended consequence of programs that are legitimately designed to help. But anytime where you've got pots of money available, you're going to have people who figure out a way to try and exploit it. And that's probably some of what we're seeing as well.
Yeah, well, that's been around for a while. My guests today are Bob Lohfeld of Lohfeld Consulting Group and Larry Allen of Allen Federal. I'm Mark Amtower, and you're listening to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests today are Larry Allen of Allen Federal and Bob Lofeld of Lofeld Consulting Group. You can find Allen Federal at allenfederal.com. You can find Lofeld Consulting Group at Lofeld Consulting, and that's L-O-H-F-E-L-D consulting.com. So recently, a memo was put out by the new administrator of OFPP, and it was interesting because it seems to be the direction that she is going to attempt to take OFPP over the remaining portion of the Obama administration. And there's three broad concepts here, and I want to talk about each separately: category management, acquisition, workforce, talent development, and stronger vendor relationships, each of which is interesting in its own right. Larry, start us off with this, the category management. You've been heavily involved in and around GSA for 23 years now. So,
right, Mark, and category management originated at GSA, and the idea is to have a common place where agencies can go. Think of it kind of as a library. It's one part of category management anyway, where there are best practices. There is going to be a prices paid tool. We can do a whole show on the wisdom of that. There's going to be OMB and other directives, all designed to be one-stop shopping for contracting officers and buyers who want to know what the best practices are and how they can best get their hands around their individual acquisitions. The other part of category management is to see who the lead agency is and who's doing furniture procurement the best. And that would be the category management leader in that specific area. Similarly, who's doing software buying? And doesn't mean that other agencies wouldn't do those things, but you would have a category management leader that would kind of set the tone. And again, this started at the General Services Administration. So far, GSA has stood up three different categories and came to the Office of Federal Procurement Policy from GSA. So it's not surprising at all that she would want to take category management out and make it government-wide. The big question I have about category management, too, actually, is one, if you build it, will people come? It may be well-intended, but if nobody uses it. And the second is, how likely is it really that other government agencies are going to play a game of acquisition, follow the leader, when there's a tendency now, particularly in IT, to stand up your own contract every time you have a unique or something you believe
perceived
is a
unique
requirement?
Well, Bob likes when they set up their own contracts.
Well, sometimes that's the right thing to do.
There you go.
What I worry about with the strategic sourcing initiative is that right now it's in the domain of office supplies, office products, and it's less troubling there. But if it begins to broaden
out. Not if you sell office products.
and I understand for those people who do, it's problematic. If it begins to broaden out into the services market, this concept, then I think it's overstepped its bounds. Buying commodity products off of a single schedule is good. Buying people, the services, there's no way to standardize on productivity levels, and it's productivity and it's customer knowledge that you really want. When you go out and contract for those services, probably not the domain of a strategic sourcing initiative.
Bob touched on something that I think is important to understand, and that is strategic sourcing has been around now for at least 3 or 4 years, at least as we've been talking about it.
In this iteration,
right. And so far, it seems to be a one-size-fits-all solution, the office product solution that Bob referenced. And that's not really easily replicable anywhere else, nor should we try to force a very round peg into a very square hole of other types of acquisitions. if you try to do that in strategic sourcing, whether you're government or industry, that is going to fail. There is no one-size-fits-all strategic sourcing model. GSA seems to have realized that somewhat in the furniture area, where they backed off an idea for standard office configurations and are now just going to go to some preferred type of educational documents for people to make have them make smarter decisions. But really, I think that all the other things that you see about strategic sourcing, whether it's software or so-called commodity IT, they do want to, OMB and GSA, follow the office supply model. And I think, Mark, that's probably one reason why the rollout of these programs has been significantly slowed, because finding out you can't really build that type of thing. You can't put a Cadillac and bolt it onto the back of a horse plow.
In the services area, when you think about the model of strategic sourcing, we have a similarity to it. It's multiple award IDIQ contracts. And in a way, what agencies are doing is it's much like strategic sourcing, is they're selecting a handful of vendors and saying that these vendors will be their go-to providers for these services for the next 10 years. And it's wonderful if you're one of the handful that gets selected, and it's absolutely career-changing if you're not. And we talk about a critical must-win for these companies. They're either in this business or they're out of it, and there's nothing in between. You got to win or you're out. That I'm not sure is the best way to work in a market where the technology turns over every 3 years. It's a new game out there. And the ones that you picked 7 years ago, the companies.
Well, that goes back to the desktop computer awards from the early 90s. You know, by the time they awarded a contract, the specs for the computer were a generation at least behind. So, and you, the first thing to do was a tech refresh. But if you had a warehouse full of 286s and the 386s were the latest thing, you know, what do you do? And in one case, at least one case, they went out of business. They vacated the market.
Well, we've seen some people go out of business for losing the office supplies FSSI, as Bob suggested. I think we're going to see some companies who were awarded the recent OS3 go out of business. I think we're going to have at least one or two that bid so low that there's not going to be any way that they can make money through this contract. And they're small businesses whose margins were already thin, and they may have put themselves in a tipping point situation.
I would argue that a lot of the companies that are on the winning side are right at that cusp, because the only people who can afford to sell at that are the mega stores that have the direct relationships with the manufacturers. Otherwise, you're definitely in more of a reseller channel distribution scenario, and your margins are already thin, if they exist at all.
It's a sort of a frightening thought to wake up one morning and realize that your company has just been declared the winner in a national competition to see how low you can go. It's a bit scary, I think.
Yeah, it's frightening. Let's briefly discuss, or discuss as long as we need to, the acquisition workforce talent development category.
Well, who wouldn't really want to be in favor of a better trained acquisition workforce?
I'm there.
I think we've been talking about training on this show. We understand, I think, as people inside the federal market, that there's an acquisition workforce training is something that is needed. It's a motherhood and apple pie type of thing, Mark. So to the extent that Ann Rung put it on her to-do list, it's nothing new. The question I would have for Ann and her colleagues is, how are you going to get there? Are you going to be providing some stability at the Federal Acquisition Institute, for example?
DAU is going to be backed up. Yeah.
Right, because the organization at FAI has turned over every couple of years. So are you going to be relying on DAU, or are you going to provide dollars for agencies?
Maybe they'll get like graduate school to get the TAs to teach the class.
Well, this is, or are they going to allow their workforce to get trained from people in the private sector who train contractors and who do this for at least part of their living, who know the ins and outs? But, you know, it's not government. And I think there's a question. Everybody agrees that we want to have better educated buyers, and probably most people would agree that we need to have more than we have today. But how you get there is the question.
Part of the challenge is that they're overworked too. The acquisition core is doing a great job trying to keep up with the flow of procurements, but there's so many crossing their desks that their attention span on each is limited. If I could offer a prescription, it would be to move more of the decision-making authority back to the user community, to the program side of government organizations, and lessen it in the contracting office. And what we see right now is contracting officers making source selections with limited understanding of what they're buying and a limited sense about the quality of one supplier over another. In effect, they're making decisions in what I call the land of no consequence. They get awards for driving the price down and then walk away and leave the program side of the agency stuck with a wounded performer. And that's not in anyone's best interest.
Okay. My guests today are Bob Lohfeld of Lohfeld Consulting and Larry Allen of Allen Federal. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are Bob Lohfeld of Lohfeld Consulting. You can find Bob at Lohfeld, L-O-H-F-E-L-D, consulting.com. You can find him on LinkedIn. And Larry Allen is our other guest. You can find Larry at allenfederal.com, and you can also find Larry on LinkedIn. I suggest you find both of these gentlemen one way or another. The final point of Ms. Rung's memo is extremely intriguing because it causes confusion everywhere. Stronger vendor relationships. Bob, I know this is a sweet spot / sore spot for you, so take it away, bud.
Yeah, I love the opening sentence in it, and I'll read it for your listeners here. It's early, frequent, and constructive engagement with industry leads to better outcomes. Wow, who wouldn't disagree with that? Such engagement is particularly important for complex, high-risk procurements, including those for large IT projects. You know, hallelujah, this is right in our core market. Early, frequent, constructive engagement. No longer should the government say, we've just released our draft RFP, all communications must stop. That's a time when they should really be deeply engaged. Are we're thinking about doing a procurement, but we can't talk to you about it.
Yeah, but it's beyond RFI.
Yeah, and then the folklore goes on that, well, if I talk to one, then I have to talk to every vendor, and the FAR doesn't say that. So, you know, a little training in the FAR would be helpful here, too.
And what was it you train your clients on, FAR 15?
FAR 15, yeah. It's not that long, my goodness. It's not that long, and it's one of the best documents in the market. Read it.
Well, I think that everybody in industry would welcome the opportunity to work more closely with their government customer, Mark. And I think Ann sounds the right note here in this memo. I hope that it is followed through. And one of the places it could be followed through was with her old agency, the General Services Administration. And I'm not picking on them, but I'm just going to make an example of what it is they do. They absolutely do view their supplier base as interchangeable vendors, not as business partners. And it shows in their willingness to constructively engage with industry. They'll engage and tell industry what's on their mind, but that doesn't mean that they're really open to changing their mind.
Or listening to
the feedback
outside
that
thoughts,
they get, often from companies who have been working in this environment for longer than the people inside GSA have. So, you know, there's some benefit there. Similarly, we have to get away from the idea that every contractor is out to steal candy from the federal baby. We have companies that are by and large in this market for the long run who are very committed to seeing agencies meet and exceed their missions, very much want to work as a partner with government people. You're always going to find the few outliers who are here for a hit and run, but those are certainly going to be a rarer exception. So the idea that we're in this together, particularly if you're a major buying organization, whether it's a defense procurement shop, GSA, or NASA's acquisition office, you all are then serving common customers with a contractor. It's the same customer that you're both trying to fill their need, and shouldn't you be working more closely together on that?
Yeah. And I like this idea of working closely in Ann's memo, and Larry, you referred to it here, constructive engagement. And when we counsel our corporate clients, we talk a lot about constructive engagement and what it is not. And what it is not is to go get a meeting with a program executive in the government and then spend 45 minutes briefing your capability package and at the end saying, is there anything you want to buy? That's just a waste of everybody's time. Constructive engagement is doing your research before you go in, understanding what their issues are, understanding their direction, understanding their strategy, and then having something meaningful to discuss about the direction they're going. That's constructive engagement. It's not one more capability briefing.
Well, then that puts it on the onus of the vendors, and I think that's fair as well, because we do see a lot of companies that want to get in and see the secretary, the CIO for the Department of Defense. Guess what? Everybody wants to go see the CIO for the Department of Defense, but usually that's not your best shot. So part of good vendor relationships is contractors understanding just what Bob said. Do your homework, do your research. There's the anecdote that I love of somebody who put together a great slide deck for the Department of Homeland Security, only to have shown that they were briefing the Department of Health and Human Services. Off by one H, darn.
Yeah.
So everybody has to make sure that they understand this market, whether they're on the government or industry side.
Yeah, it's probably just a matter of changing the title slide. They probably use the same slides at every agency.
And sometimes they don't catch that, and it's really embarrassing to be briefing NSA, or was it NASA? You know, it's just only slightly different.
Well, give me, each of you, give me your best shot for what companies need to do for 2015. Larry, lead off, please.
For 2015, I think you need to be tightly focused, identify opportunities, and identify the agencies that are best fits for you. Do not take a shotgun approach. Be patient and don't think that bad things can't happen to you. They can. And remember, it's not about how much money you make. It's about how much you keep.
That's good advice. I love the idea of focus. You know, the market is far too big for most companies to address holistically. Focus, know what you're capable of doing, know where you want to go, and then be committed to write the best proposal you can possibly write. Better than all of your competitors, not just write a proposal, but your objective is to write the best one and win it hands down.
Very cool. Gentlemen, thank you so much. My guests today have been Robert Lohfeld of Lohfeld Consulting. Again, you can find Lohfeld at LOHFELDconsulting.com and Larry Allen of Allen Federal, allenfederal.com. You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is not my day job. I advise companies on all facets of marketing to the government, and I advise companies, including people in this room, on leveraging LinkedIn. Contact me at mark@federaldirect.net if you'd like to discuss either federaldirect.net, excuse me. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off-Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.